Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Ed Vitagliano.
And welcome back. Ed Vitagliano sitting in for Tim Wildman this week. I'm joined in studio by Wesley Wildman and now Steve Paisley Jordan.
Hey, good morning, everybody.
Good morning, Steve. And again, your shirt, is that Paisley?
It is Paisley.
It is Paisley, okay. That looks like is. Is that a new shirt? It looks a little bit.
It was new at one point, but no.
Okay. I've worn all right. it before. Okay. All right. Well, anyway, welcome into the program.
Thank you. Good to be here.
What's up news-wise?
Oh, man, nothing happening in the world. Like, boring out there.
It is. It's
nothing,
boring.
Nothing to talk about. Maybe hunting. Let's start.
Well, we already did that.
I was distracted for a minute in y'all's opening conversation, but now I'm back engaged again. Did I hear hunting?
I saw a headline. I thought of you, Wesley. I don't have the story here, but it said that gun violence is up at the beginning of every hunting season.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. That's funny. Yeah. There are some people that should probably go to a hunter safety course before they go out hunting for the first time or something, because that's where you get some accidents. So everybody be safe. Hunting season's around the corner, October 1st. Some states it's already opened up, but in most states archery opens up October 1st. So have fun, but it's not worth getting injured over, so be careful.
That's right.
All right. You hear that, Dick Cheney? Good. All right. So yesterday, a congressional delegation of some Republicans and Democrats went to Butler, Pennsylvania, to look at the site of the assassination attempt of President Trump. It is part of a special task force that's put together. They're keeping their findings and their presumptions close to the vest. They're not saying a whole lot, but what they did say is several of them expressed astonishment at how close the rooftop that Crooks shot from was to the stage.
Yes, where President Trump was.
He was speaking, right. 430 feet. That might even be reachable by a bow. Right?
A bow?
Yeah.
30 feet?
430
feet? No chance.
Okay. So anyway, they declined to answer the question about preliminary findings. They were skeptical of reports that Crooks might have not acted alone. They say there's no evidence at this point for that. They are going to be giving a report later on. But
is anybody fired yet? That's all I care about.
No, they put several people on hold in the Pittsburgh Secret Service office. A lot of people say that's scapegoating.
Yeah.
There were
on hold. What do you mean? Just
Did I say they suspended them?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they suspended.
That's closer. We're getting there.
I know. Yeah. I know. English is a hard language.
Yeah.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 Republicans are a little impatient with this committee and decided to go on their own. They held a panel discussion. It wasn't a hearing because they weren't empowered to put anybody under oath or issue. But they had a panel, and in that panel, they asked a couple people, some experts, to come, one of whom was Dan Bongino.
Okay.
Because he's a former Secret Service agent, former instructor at the Secret Service Academy.
I didn't know that he was an instructor.
He was for 2 or 3 years. So what did they find? Well, the first thing you're going to hear here is Dan Bongino talking about if he had to choose or to make systemic changes at the Secret Service, what would he do? And he lists three things that they have to do. I can go into detail about them later if you want. But then after that, you're going to hear from Representative Corey Mills. You're going to hear from Representative Matt Gaetz talking with Mr. Bongino. And it's what they have to say is astonishing to me. Cut 12.
First, they have a technology problem. Second, the more with less approach. There is no more with less. There's less with less, okay? Third, their agents can figure out how to do protection without running out cheap $20 counterfeit notes at 7-Eleven on a Friday night while the president's getting shot in the head.
Mr. Bongino, in your opinion, is the Secret Service in a better spot today with Director Rowe in charge?
No, it's worse. And sadly, I'm glad this is all being recorded, because when something else happens, and I hope it doesn't, you think this is the last incident, you're out of your mind.
you will see at this stage where I think that criminal gross negligence and purposeful intent will be indistinguishable.
I absolutely believe Donald Trump and an enhanced security posture he should have had would have made him look more presidential. And they were making some of these decisions based purely on grade school level politics.
Help us sort out some of this. I don't understand the third change that Bongino said should be made, but the counterfeit money, what was that
all
about?
The Secret Service is still tracking down counterfeit money. He says,
as part of
the Secret Service legacy job. He says the time is well past that they should pawn that off to some other department and focus on protecting
the Treasury Department or so, or right. FBI.
They used to be part of the Treasury Department. Now they're part of Homeland Security,
right?
But they still maintained their investigative duties with regard to counterfeiting, which
all right.
doesn't make sense in these
so,
days.
So that was Bongino's point on that.
That was Bongino's point on that.
Okay.
So the other thing you heard him say is that he believed that Donald Trump had an enhanced security if he was given more. Now, he was denied, his detail asked several times, we need more people. We need more people. We don't have enough people. This is the most threatened man on the planet right now.
Yeah.
And they were denying him more coverage. And Bongino says that he believes that Donald Trump and an enhanced security posture he should have had would have made him more presidential. That's why they denied it, because they didn't want him to look presidential. So that's why Corey Mills was saying at this stage, there's no difference between gross criminal negligence and purposeful intent. Did they intend to get him killed? I mean,
that's what Corey Mills is saying.
That's what he's saying. So, look what they've done already. They've started with impeachments, with fake news, with the files of Russian disinformation that were made up completely. They
talking about back to the Steele dossier.
Yeah, Steele dossier. They impeached him twice. That didn't really work. Then they went to lawfare, and they literally charged him with like a bunch of made up crimes, people that ran specifically on getting Donald Trump.
Right.
And they couldn't do that. All those are falling apart. This is the next logical thing in Corey Mills' mind. If you really think that Donald Trump is Adolf Hitler, then it wouldn't surprise you if someone said, well, we need to make sure he doesn't make it to the
White House. We need to stop Adolf Hitler. You know, Wesley, it's uncomfortable for me. I have always loved my country and always defended it. In some ways, I've changed some of my opinions. I've changed my opinion about the war against Iraq because of all the information that's come out about that. I have changed my mind on a lot of things, but it is uncomfortable for me to not trust my own government. And under the Biden administration, I have come to not trust at least those who are in league with Biden-Harris in weaponizing the federal government against their political opponents. And now we've got this thing, and the more I read about the attempted assassination of Donald Trump, the more suspicious I get. Mm-hmm. I'm suspicious about what happened on January 6th, J6, as it's famously called. I want to have answers about, was there federal FBI involvement in stoking the flames to get people to go in and tear stuff up? I don't have satisfactory answers, and it's uncomfortable for me to be this suspicious of my own government.
Yeah, it is, and obviously we're still, unfortunately, I don't understand how we still don't have all the information that's necessary to make a decision on this type of stuff.
A decision as in what exactly happened?
No, and a decision as, well, yes, that's part of it. Yes, lay out the details, what happened, in a way that someone who's in charge can make a decision on what we're going to do with the individuals that were in charge.
Yeah.
And what are we going to do differently moving forward? You see what I'm saying? It seems to me like it's an ongoing investigation to the point where days go by and we forget about it.
How many weeks passed? That was on July When was that?
That was
middle of July.
Yeah, July 7th.
We're about out of August.
Yeah, we're out of August.
July 13th. So, Dan Bongino.
Here's what I'm saying. This is what I'm saying. So last week, here's an example of what I'm saying. So last week, we get the audio 3 weeks later that the local police department is on body cam going, I met with, we played the audio. I met with the Secret Service. They said they had the roof covered. We met on Tuesday. They said that the local police said, we'll do it. They said, no, we've got it covered. Let it go.
Yeah.
So, like, why are we finding that kind of stuff out 3 weeks later?
Right.
What kind of investigation is needed? What kind of privacy or what kind of legal issues could there possibly be that we can't get to this? We're talking about an attempted, the president was shot.
Right.
Okay. Like, this should be an easy, get in there, figure it out within a week, lay out all the information, and somebody be held responsible, and there be, this is what we're going to do different moving forward.
Listen, I want to know who this kid was talking to. He's got these encrypted software, these apps that have apparently encryption powers that are beyond the, maybe they are that tough. I don't know. Am I wrong? You guys can answer this. Did I not read a story about the fact that there is video of Crooks on that rooftop? It looks like he's texting someone.
I haven't seen the texting part. He might have been. He's got offshore accounts that he hasn't been able to access.
His body was cremated, it seems to me, before the autopsy could be done. All this kind of stuff. I'm just sitting here going, come on, man. This stinks to high heaven.
To listen to the people who kind of know what they're talking about, yeah. Ronald Rowe, who is now the acting director of the Secret Service, who replaced the lady that resigned,
yes.
Was not fired, was directly responsible for denying Donald Trump some of this coverage. Directly responsible.
Secret Service protection.
He is in the middle of the whole thing. Therefore, these people that I'm listening to say he's still in a cover your behind mode. He's still trying to cover up things and to see how little he can damage the Secret Service or his own hide, basically. So
listen, we had the Kimberly Cheadle, who was the acting director of the Secret Service, in the aftermath of this, everything she said as an explanation for it proved to be wrong.
Right. Yeah.
Like I said at the top of this discussion, this makes me very uncomfortable. And right. I'm not saying it's the federal government. It is who's in charge of the federal government that has been using it for their own personal political gain. And we almost had the leading the Republican candidate for president assassinated.
Yeah.
So in July,
there is an ad hoc a Republican committee they put together, I think, on the weaponization of federal government. That's what we need. This outside of the Butler, the Secret Service may apparently have been one of those agencies that was weaponized.
Yeah.
But the FBI, the DOJ, all of these people have been weaponized. That's the question you need to ask.
Because one or two options has happened here. One or two options. One, somebody failed to do their job, or two, somebody looked the other way.
Yes.
So that's the reason I'm saying I need more. We got one of them has to be decided on, and it has to be decided on later or sooner than 4 weeks later.
Yeah, I'm with you.
I'm open for somebody not failing to do their job or being incompetent. I mean, my point is I'm not so conspiratorial that I'm not going to listen to you.
Right.
If you've got evidence to say this person, he was on a lunch break and he was doing something naughty he wasn't supposed to.
Right.
And that's the reason it got left open. Okay. But otherwise, you got to prove that, because right now you're leaving option two open, which is somebody looked the other way.
Yeah. Ordinarily, for a mistake this big, you have three options.
Okay.
Okay. You have somebody look the other way.
Yep.
All right. In other words, they were taking part
in
it. Number two, they were just incompetent. Or number three, they don't have the policies or personnel in place. It's not incompetence. They're just understaffed, undermanned, or whatever. Okay. That's no longer a part. That's not an option.
That's right. There you go.
So it is these two choices, incompetence or someone looked the other way. And the longer this goes on, the more I think it's not just incompetence because they didn't have the perimeter secured. We have video of people saying, listen, we just tried to find a parking spot. We drove around. We parked by the fence and just walked in. No one even challenged us.
Mm-hmm.
I could have had a bazooka.
Yep.
And so now I'm leaning towards somebody looked the other way.
So Representative Corey Mills, you heard in this clip we just played.
Dad's not here to stop us.
Yes.
From the conspiratorial side. Yeah,
well, that's right.
He said, you will see at this stage that I think criminal gross negligence and purposeful intent will be indistinguishable. Another way to say that is it is impossible to fail that profoundly.
Yeah. It's right.
Impossible to not.
And we've heard that from many, many people that were either, I say in the profession, they were either top level military. We've had top level military and top level snipers, top level people who have served in some capacity in the military that can speak with great confidence on this issue. And they would say the same thing. Look, that's the first thing you do. That's the first building you clear. If you look at a map,
right.
That's the first thing. That's number one.
Even non-professionals like these members of Congress
could
tell this. Wow, this is close. Listen, all this stuff that we're talking about in terms of the quote-unquote incompetence, then you tell me that the conversations between the people on the ground, all that's been deleted?
Yes.
And there was no there was no communication between the Secret Service and local police in real time.
Yeah. Listen.
Yeah.
Wesley raises a good point. We probably need to kind of walk back a little bit from the precipice, but this is very concerning. And if it wasn't for people like Senator Grassley,
that's right.
From Iowa, and these other members of Congress, this story would have died.
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
And it would have been memory hole.
Shockingly.
Yes. Shockingly. All right.
All right. Just a couple more things I want to get to. The electric vehicle push by the Democrats and Kamala, the Green New Deal.
I'll bet it's going well.
It's going so well. Ford has decided it is not going to make a three-row electrical crossover. In fact, Ford is in deep trouble. Ford is losing $44,000 on every EV it sells. It expects to be on track to lose $5 billion this year alone.
Wow.
On electric vehicles.
Now, why are they we talked about this. I didn't know the $5 billion thing until you just mentioned it. We did say we were going to talk about this story in our story meeting. So I didn't ask you this. I don't know that you'll have the answer to it. Why are they losing so much money on each vehicle?
Nobody wants to buy the vehicles.
Oh, I see.
And,
right.
You know, so market. If the thing costs $100,000 and nobody's willing to pay more than $60,000,
okay,
then you just lost $40,000 on that one car, and you've got tons of inventory you can't move.
This is a real world rebuke to the Green New Deal folks who promised that this was going to save the planet, because it's not working. Nobody wants it. Rental car companies don't want these.
The technology's not there yet.
The technology's not there. It's too expensive. There's not enough of the infrastructure necessary to carry this. And people are going to hybrids because that's the only choice they have. I think I told the story that my wife and I were looking. There was an accident. One of our cars got totaled and everyone was fine, but we were looking to replace it. I've always had a soft spot for Toyota Camrys. So we went to one of the local car dealerships that has Camrys, and I wanted to buy a used Camry if I could find one, because they last forever. Excuse me. But they told me that I was met as soon as you step on a dealership lot, you get people coming up. And this young man was very nice, but I said I was looking for used Camrys. And he said, "Well, we have several over here." He said, "But let me. How about a brand new Camry?" And I said, "Ah, I don't want to buy it." But he said, "Well, here we have gas powered We have 8 new, brand new Camrys. This is it. After this, no more. It's all hybrids. All the new cars are hybrids. And I said, you won't have any more just purely gas powered? Nope. So everyone's going to hybrids because the federal government is making them.
They are doing better than straight EVs.
Right.
Elon Musk's notwithstanding. I have nothing against electric vehicles. I've test driven a Tesla, and it was one of the most exciting things I've ever done. As far as
we have people here, they work here who drive EVs. They love they like
rocket ship.
Good for you.
It's not saving the environment.
Right.
All right. College football season starting. You guys, I'm sure, are all rooting for your favorite team. How's State going to do this year?
They're going to do really bad.
They're going to do really bad.
Really bad at football. Yep.
Okay.
No, it's unfortunate. We've added Oklahoma and Texas to the SEC meaning the team I cheer for and pull for all my life, Mississippi State University, as if they needed any more competition. They certainly got it. So, new coach, new season, attitude, top tier teams. It's going to be very difficult.
So one of the
thanks for asking though.
I'm glad brought that up. One of the coaches that people have been looking at and watching ever since last year when he took over the job at Colorado, University of Colorado, was Deion Sanders.
Mm-hmm, yeah,
Prime Time Coach Prime,
right.
They call him. Now, I don't know where he was when he was a player, but as a coach and now, he is a very committed Christian.
Mm. Yes, he is.
Very disciplined.
Very disciplined, very committed, and he's committed to making his players better people.
Mm.
And this is an example. I want you to hear. So one of his things that he wants to stress is fatherhood, the importance of fatherhood. And so he gave some examples of why fatherhood is important, and then this is an audio of what he said next to them about what the Bible says about fatherhood. Cut 10.
The Bible is my navigation system of life. This references fatherhood with the word father appearing over 1,100 times in Scripture. So what does this tell me? The significant role in God's eyes.
The significant role in God's eyes of fatherhood. That's what
he's telling his players.
Tells the players. Then he invited up a lady from a bank, 5430 Bank in the Front Range Colorado Alliance, and he called the players who were fathers that had children up to the front, and he gave each one of them a savings account. With $1,221, his playing number was 21 in the NFL, and the lady from the bank then told them about compounding interest and if they add money to it, how to make the money work for you to be responsible managers of money.
Yeah.
Mm. But that's where his heart is, and that's where his pocketbook went.
How much was it?
$1,221 per child.
21 was his number.
It was set aside specifically for the children as they got older. As a savings account.
I just think that, what a testimony, what a great thing to do for these young men who have children. And it's, you know, college is not, it's not beyond belief that people in college would have kids. And listen, our country cannot ever prosper again unless families become important to the culture.
Yep.
And I'm talking about biological mother and father with their kids. I know that's not always possible. There are divorces and remarriages and blended families and single parents. I understand all that. But for our country to prosper, the what we call the nuclear family, that's the family that God designed, needs to be at the center of our culture's priorities.
Amen and amen.
Sure does. Every time I hear him, all I think, one of the first things I think about is priorities.
Yeah.
Got to have your priorities on.
Right. That's all the time we have for today, folks. More great programming directly ahead on American Family Radio. Lord willing, we'll see you tomorrow.